Children can be dismissed to Children's Church, and I want to welcome Chuck Egbert. And I don't want to say too much because I know some of you know him and some of you got to hear him this morning, but he is with MMS Aviation Fellowship, and both a pilot but mainly a mechanic, and uses that to support mission agencies across the globe. And so we are excited to have Chuck with us today.
Lord, I want to echo those prayers that your spirit would be present here. And not just because we are together, but Lord, that your spirit would be present in our lives. You know, Lord, this is one of those times where I wonder, what in the world am I doing here? And I commit this time to you, and Lord, I pray that you would speak, despite me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. A pleasure to be with you again. I do want to clarify that it was the ministry I'm involved in that Doug said was unusual. There was some question back there. Doug doesn't know me that well. However, he does know my brother, and maybe there was some correlation. Greetings to you from my wife, Kathy. She would have liked to have been here with you, but decided the cost of traveling with three small children, the benefits of staying home, outweighed the cost. So she does apologize that she's not here with you. I shared back during the Sunday school time that our first batch of kids always traveled so well, and we thought that that was just because we put them in the car a lot and went. And that hasn't really held true with the second batch of children. So traveling isn't always the easiest thing. So I do really greatly appreciate you folks choosing to be a partner with us in ministry. As Pastor Doug mentioned, both you as a congregation and many individuals here that have been partnering with us for quite a long time. The ministry is rather unique, and I would love to be able to tell you that I work and reside in one of these fringe locations. I'm not sure about Senegal, though. West Africa just sounds too hot. And, you know, maybe someday once again, we'll be back in Africa or Alaska. But I can tell you that the work that I'm involved in now, that you folks join us in, goes to Africa. It goes to Alaska. It goes to South America. It goes to places like Indonesia and Australia. We have recent graduates in Uganda. We have two in Uganda, Guatemala. One of our not so far back graduates transitioned from a closed program in Tanzania to Australia. I don't know much about that ministry, but pretty neat. Our aircraft that we work on, going all over the place. We've got one that just was sent out in the past year, is working in the Sahara. And it's a rather unique airplane because it's diesel-powered. And it can take a lot of abuse, and it can run jet fuel. It can't run gasoline, and you can't get aviation gasoline there. So all kinds of neat things that go on and that I'm privileged to be a part of. And the only way that's possible is by partners like you who come alongside. So thank you. I do enjoy being able to come and speak like this. This is, in a way, enjoyable, and in another way, way outside the box for me. I'm not a preacher. I'm a technician. So I want to tell you right first off that generally when I speak like this, I pretty much just share what the Lord's been telling me. The message I have to share with you today isn't the easiest message to listen to. And so I want to encourage you that I'm just sharing with you what God's been telling to me. And I'll trust that it's beneficial to you as well. We're all in the same boat. Our circumstances vary greatly, but greater is He who is in us. And so with that, we're going to turn to the Old Testament. When was the last time you heard a message on Leviticus? You're kidding me. Okay. Well, just to be clear, I have never delivered a message on I can't even say it. On Leviticus. So, we're going to look at Leviticus chapter 13, verses 47 through 59. I think we've got it up. Oh, here it is. Now, I don't spend much time in the Old Testament, and recently felt convicted that I had not been in the Old Testament in way too long a time, so I read through Leviticus. It wasn't an easy read, so I'm going to ask you to just kind of nudge the person next to you if you hear snoring or anything like that. Let's read it. Beginning in verse 7 of chapter 13, before I go any further, I skipped. We're talking about leprosy here. Great detail, okay? Great detail. I can sometimes get lost in details. When a garment has a mark of leprosy in it, whether it is a wool garment or a linen garment, whether in warp or woof or of linen or of wool, whether in the leather or in any article made of leather, if the mark is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather or in the warp or in the woof or in any article of leather, it is a leprous mark and shall be shown to the priest. Then the priest shall look at the mark and shall quarantine the article with the mark for 7 days. He shall then look at the mark on the 7th day. If the mark is spread in the garment, whether in the warp or in the woof or in the leather, whatever the purpose for which the leather is used, the mark is a leprous malignancy and it is unclean. So he shall burn the garment, whether the warp or the woof. Yeah. To me, it sounds good. Burn it. And shall quarantine the article with the mark for 7 days. He shall then look at the mark on the 7th day. If the mark is spread, sorry, I skipped something there. If the mark had not spread, he's to quarantine it. He shall then look at the mark on the 7th day. If the mark has spread in the garment, whether in the warp or in the woof or in the leather, whatever the purpose for which the leather is used, the mark is a leprous malignancy, it is unclean. So he shall burn the garment, whether in the warp or the woof or in the linen or any article of leather in which the mark occurs. For it is a leprous malignancy, it shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest shall look, and indeed the mark is not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in any article of leather, then the priest shall order them to wash the thing in which the mark occurs, and he shall quarantine it for 7 more days. After the article with the mark has been washed, the priest shall look again. And if the mark has been not changed its appearance, even though the mark has not spread, it is unclean, you shall burn it in the fire, whether in eating away as produced barrenness on the top or on the front. I'm really getting impatient here. Can you just burn it? Then if the priest looks, and if the mark is faded after it has been washed, then he shall tear it out of the garment or out of the leather, whether from the warp or from the woof. And if it appears again in the garment, whether in the warp or in the woof or in the article of leather, it is an outbreak. The article with the mark shall be burned in the fire. The garment... Burn it, yes, burn it. The garment, whether the warp or the woof or any article of leather from which the mark has departed when you washed it, it shall then be washed a 2nd time, and it will be clean. for pity's sakes, why don't we just burn it? This is the law for the mark of leprosy in a garment of wool or linen, whether in the warp or in the woof or in any article of leather, for pronouncing it clean or unclean. As I read through that, I got more and more impatient, and I'm just thinking, burn it, burn it, burn it. Why bother? And in the back of my head, I heard, Chuck, I'm not telling you to just burn it. I'm giving you a process. And this is what you're to do. Listen to me and follow what I'm telling you to do. Now, I realize that the chances of us dealing with leprosy are extremely slim. Although I do understand that it does still exist in some places of the world. And we don't live under the law. And if I have to throw this shirt into the fire today, which maybe I will have to, it won't be all that big a deal. So there's a lot of cultural dynamics as we read through that. I am not a very patient person in many regards, and our culture doesn't have to deal with the things that were dealt with in that day and age. We are God's people, and we need to obey Him, and we need to follow what He's calling us to do, be that what it is. We are called to obedience. Why? Well, let's take a look at a text in Romans, which shouldn't be too unfamiliar to us. As a matter of fact, I would venture a guess, as we look at Romans chapter 6, that many of us could quote the ending verse, verse 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. How many of us could quote verse 22? Kind of getting ahead of myself. Let's hold off. Let's read beginning from verse 16, Romans chapter 6, verse 16. And we're going to look at a very popular idea of slavery. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Paul speaks here of only two conditions. He speaks of us as having been slaves to sin, or we have bent our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and become slaves to righteousness. A very unpopular concept, doesn't fit into our thinking. That is what we are called to. We are either slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. Now, my question about being able to quote verse 22 has to do with what is declared to be our benefit. It says that you derive your benefit. Being enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. How often do we talk about being saved? When was the last time you asked, or someone asked of you, are you being sanctified? Hallelujah. I think the church could camp out here for a little while, folks. We talk so much about being saved. I don't know that we talk much about becoming like Christ. I don't think we talk much about obedience. I think that our sanctification needs to be our result. Christ-likeness needs to be what we shoot for. Now, you may be wondering why this airplane guy would be sharing with you this. I mean, I'm nothing. I fail more than I succeed when it comes to being obedient. But again, this is what the Lord has been talking to me. For the past 4 months, I couldn't tell you the number of times where I've thrown up my hands and said, too much. When the Lord brought to us another child, a very rambunctious young man, and we didn't really look for that opportunity. Matter of fact, I'll share with you that I decided this winter that we were not going to renew our foster home certification. The reason why I came to that conclusion is we didn't have time. We were so busy, and life was not easy, and we had to do 40 hours of training in order to be able to renew our certification in April. And so I said to my wife, we can't do it. We simply don't have time. She wasn't quite with me on that, but she submitted to that. And I'm sorry if that's an offensive word to you. It is biblical. And she prayed. So we get to March, and the county calls and says, well, we've got a little boy that we need to place. And we said to the county, our certification is a month from expiring. And they said, yeah, it is. You better get busy. They didn't say that, but in the end, I think that's what the Lord was saying. I don't know to this day how we did it. Basketball season had ended. That's how it happened. That's right. Basketball season was over. So we did have an ounce of free time, and we got our certification. And at the end of March, when they found the little boy who had been taken off to someplace else, when they located him and brought him back to the county, we received him at 1 a.m. on one Friday night and has been with us since. And it ain't easy. I didn't really look to be raising a second generation of kids, but it is quite clear that it is God's calling. And, you know, I have to give I ask you to pray for my wife. I don't know how she does it. It's an interesting situation because he's only 7 months older than Emma, or younger than Emma. Emma's a little bit behind developmentally, and he's a mover. So she's adapting, though. I shared this morning in the Sunday school hour that she now hits and bites as much as he does. So it isn't, as I share these things with you, it is without any glimpse of example. I have really struggled with this. I told Sherry, my heart is not in this. But glory to God, he's working that little guy into my heart. And the little girl, I'm trying, Isaac. Sorry. I told my son I'd try. I always try not to cry. I never thought I'd have a daughter who had me wrapped around her little finger. I guess these are the things that I would be missing out on had we not followed God's plan. It isn't easy. Oh, where was I? It is our goal to be sanctified. It's a process. You ever hear the statement, we change, he doesn't, declare his glory? That should be what our lives are like, changing to be like him. Unless you're hung up on the notion of being a slave, the concept is all over Scripture. If you look at Philippians chapter 1, right at the very beginning, Paul and Timothy, it's a personal address. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Christ Jesus. As I understand it, and I am no biblical scholar, I read the word, but I am no scholar. As I understand it, the original word that Paul used was doulos. Further, as I understand it, there is no direct definition of doulos other than the word slave. I don't know why the translations focus on the word servant. Maybe Pastor Doug can enlighten us on that. But from my understanding, the appropriate word there is slave. And that theme runs out through Scripture. How many of you have a life verse? Mine is Galatians 2:20. Maybe it's because it was one of the first verses I memorized, and I don't memorize Scripture like I should. But Galatians 2:20 says, I have been... Now I can't remember. I may have to read it. All right, we'll do that. Go eat popcorn. Let's see, Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. I needed a little prompt there. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live to the glory of him who loved me and gave himself up for me. Folks, that's what we're called to. Paul says we're either slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. So I ask you this morning, Is sanctification your goal? We're all in different circumstances. Maybe there are some of us here that have yet to bend the knee to Jesus. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's some that have prayed the prayer, "I'm saved." I know a preacher who says there are two different things. I'm sorry. There is no separation. Either Jesus is Lord of your life, and salvation will be the eternal result for you, or you're a slave to sin. So I ask you that. Is sanctification your goal? Thanks for the opportunity to be with you again today. If you weren't with us in Sunday School Hour, I do have some display material back there, and love to chat with you if you have any questions. Just want to encourage you, be in the Word. Ask the Lord what He's calling you to, and get ready. Thank you.